Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you can still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day. We are starting and we are live. Nice to see everyone. So, officially welcome to Neighborhood Church, friends. We believe that there's a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for us. And we found a... You shouldn't be surprised. Here, let me move over.
I am here.
You are here.
I'm not just a creepy person in the back playing music.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Well, we just found out we have several more weeks of doing this. Yeah, grab Pops. And we can do really hard things. So, cheers to the graduates. We celebrate right? Class of 2020. Anyone else who graduated? Yes, here you go. Cheers.
To a very unique situation. Cheers
totally.
To you guys.
So today our message is going to be geared around celebrating you and moving forward. And I'm excited. So, but we do have to say, you can get all information and communicate with us at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. We have friends that are watching on that site right now as well. If you wanted to fill that out, if you need a prayer request or you need help with something or you want to share something, that is a great place to do it. If you'd like to give, you can do it there. And I wanted to highlight, just thank you for all the people who are continuing to be incredibly generous during this pandemic. For people who are giving tithes and offerings, we had someone just mail us a check just the other day saying that they believe in what we're doing. And that made me feel super loved, made me proud. We also had someone donate 12 books, Glennon Doyle's new book,
Untamed.
This person read it and felt like it opened some doors into new ways of seeing and new ways of believing, and was so moved that she bought 12 copies and she goes, hey, can you give them away to people who might need it? Mm-hmm. So if you want Glennon Doyle's new book for free, just what do you call it? Message me, right? Mm-hmm. Message me or email me, or you can text the church phone number. You can find that on our website, and I will drop off sometime this week, and I'll deliver you a really great little book. So are we ready to do the graduates? Are you ready to do the graduates?
I think you should have brought your trumpet.
I played trumpet.
So great.
And I was first chair in trumpet only because...
Hold on.
All right. You just stepped on my touchdown call. All right. Because Anna Fink was the number one chair always. And I was number two. But then she would go to UMD for school. And then I was first chair. So whenever Anna wasn't there, I was first chair. So I just say, I was first chair trumpet. No big deal.
I think they should have just held the first chair spot for her. So
she just every time.
Chasing
like,
after
no,
that
no.
higher learning.
Chris,
just
We all know. All right. So I'm going to pick up the camera. So it's going to get shaky. Ashton plays the trumpet. Maybe a duet. Maybe. I charge $5,000 a song because... That's what artists do. So
you just made that up.
No. Okay. So, the camera's
all right,
gonna
here
be,
we go.
Camera's gonna be moving. So I
Time
apologize.
For seniors.
Time for seniors. Okay. How do I do this? Here we go. Yep, you're looking right. There we are. All right. So senior number one is, how do I get there? Right. We got Hannah. Hannah Beeble. Hannah Beeble is going to graduate from Cloquet, and she is going to University of Massachusetts in Boston, where she's going to study. I'm bad at this. Cognitive psychology. So, no, I got it. All right, here we go. We have Josh Solderholm. I got to see. There he goes. Josh, extreme close-up. Josh, a friend of mine, he graduated his master's degree in healthcare management. Way to go, Josh. Woo! Way to go, Hannah. Woo! Way to go, Josh. All right, then we have...
Slow it down. There we go. We got time.
Okay.
All right, we got Cade Montgomery. He graduated from Hermantown, and he's going to Bethel to play some football, and he's studying biokinetics and sports medicine, and his hope is to become a physical therapist. Cade, way to go, bud.
Way to go, dude. Woo!
That's awesome.
Do more push-ups. All right.
All right, this might be one of my favorite pictures right here of Hannah. Hannah Erickson, so I have a little something special about both Hannah and Con, who are coming up here next. Hannah helped run a lot of our sound when we were at the Cloquet High School, because that's where she graduated from. But she's going to be attending Bowling Green State University. Hannah, we're really proud of you, yeah, and she's going to major in advertising.
Yeah.
Way to go, Hannah.
Woo! I don't know what you're playing with, but
it looks awesome.
It looks like a sandbox, and I want to be there.
Okay.
All right.
All right, next we have Con Winter.
Woo!
Oh, Con. This is great. I wish you were here. But your picture is very handsome. Con is attending. He's headed to the Main U for computer engineering. Way to go, Con.
Yeah.
And he graduated from Harmontown.
And he's going to try out for the basketball team to be a Gopher to follow his dad's dream.
Oh, is this true? You just make that up.
No, he's going to try out. Yeah,
that's
of course
good.
He is.
Go, Con.
You can
Woo!
Do it, Con. I believe in you. All right. And then lastly, we have Maddie. What are you doing? Maddie Hine. Yeah. I have to look at the picture. Maddie's going to UWS, Nikki's alma mater, where she's going to go for elementary education and with a minor in art, so she can teach those beautiful little minds.
And Maddie, we have a special jacket that those of us who graduate from UWS get. So
really?
We're all in the, yeah.
But you don't have a jacket.
We totally do.
No, that's totally
you
made up.
We graduated from North Central.
We didn't get
all my UWS peeps, like, smash that like button.
All right.
Woo!
All right. There, let's back it up. So there is the class of 2020. Congratulations, friends. Believe in your dreams. Oh, this is so great. All right. Now back to my mug. You're welcome in advance. All right. That was awesome. I love it. I love our high-tech system that we got going here. But honestly, it's an honor to have you guys a part of our community, and we believe in you. You can do hard things, and you're going to continue to do hard things. And all the ways you're going to go into the world to solve all of those problems and create opportunities, from engineering to cognitive psych.
The teaching. Advertising.
Gosh, it's just, like, you guys, I sincerely mean this. Like, this, it's inspiring to watch how you guys are moving forward, even in this world, which feels uncertain. So I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you. We're excited to see what happens.
So if you were here, we would have your family come up right now and your friends, and we have them all put their hands on you, and we would say a prayer.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're with your family right now in your living room,
uh-oh,
or you're by yourself, if that makes you feel loved and cared for, you can go ahead and put your hand on your graduate that's near you, because we want to pray for you. We believe that God's present with us all the time and in all things.
Yeah.
But there is something special about just taking a moment to recognize and notice that, and just to settle in for a minute. So
yeah, you want to pray?
We're just going to look at all your pictures. So if I'm not looking at the cameras, because I'm looking at all of your incredible faces. God, I thank you so much for these students. And I thank you for everything that they have pursued and learned and grown and developed. I thank you for every single failure and for every hardship. And I thank you even for this hard time now, God, because you do good things in that, and you're doing beautiful work in each one of us. And at the same time, I ask you to carry with them that the grief of missing out on those special things that seniors often get to celebrate. You are totally aware of that grief and that hurt too.
Mm-hmm.
So God, we know that you grieve with us for the loss of those things. And so I ask for inspiration and for grace. I ask that you give them fortitude and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that even when they face fear, they would know that they're never alone. That you are a provider, you're a protector, you inspire and you create.
Mm-hmm.
And God, we say with a huge yes and amen to every single one of these lives. Yes and amen. God, thank you. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. I love that. I got all the feels. All the feels.
Yeah, we should. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we know, we talk about this a lot, that we can hold two things to be true at the same time.
Yeah.
We're incredibly excited and proud and passionate, and we're incredibly disappointed and sad at the same time too.
That's right.
And God's present in all of that. So
yeah.
Cheers again.
Cheers again. All right. Mm-hmm. So we are going to do some worship, right?
We are. I thought we were just going to look at the dog. He's so cute.
All right. Why don't you grab your...
Absolutely.
I'm not playing. No, I'm not playing today. The church can't afford my trumpet skills. Apparently, yeah. All right.
All right, friends. We're gonna do some singing this morning together. While my dog scratches my guitar case, I'm gonna have to sit. Here we go. Hi. First song we're gonna sing this morning is 10,000 Reasons by Matt Redman. I don't know why it is, but most Sundays I wake up with this tune kind of rolling through my brain. I think it's because it talks about the sun coming up and that there's a new day dawning. So if you want to look up the lyrics and sing along with us, 10,000 Reasons, it's an oldie. We've been singing it a long time. Or if you just want to sit back and enjoy your coffee, you're welcome to do that too. All right. We're gonna sing Great Are You, Lord. And that's by Jason Ingram and Leslie Jordan. And that is not the key I'm singing it in, so I'm making a change. Songs we've sang so many times as a church. That there are oftentimes, I know especially as somebody who plays a lot of music and sings a lot of songs and leads a lot of worship, but oftentimes we can sing a song so many times that it loses some of its mystery and I don't know if the word magic works, but I'm going to use it. It loses some of that for us. And so then, I know for me, sometimes I'll step away from a song for a little bit when I feel like I'm singing it because it's maybe feels cold, or I'm just singing it to sing it. But there's something about this song in particular that feels just precious for our community. As we gather together and as we are a people who are seeing God in all things, and even in this season where we're really pointing back to recognizing that God is so close that it's as close as our own breath. And recognizing that in us. That your God is close.
Great are you, Lord. So we pour out our praise. We'll pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Take that deep inhale of breath. Often when we're singing, we just kind of grab in a couple of short breaths, but just take a moment, take in that deep breath. Just feel the coolness on the back of your nostrils, back through your throat. Waking up your brain for one more day. Just expand your rib cage, let that breath go down right into your belly. Just invite you to take a moment to invite God into specifically places, even in your own body. Where do you need more of God today? Taking in that breath. It's good and it's free. It's for us every single day. So even as we continue and Chris preaches and we shut this off and we go through our day, know that your breath always stays with you. Our God is always with us. Thanks for worshiping with me this morning. Here's Chris.
All right. Oh, so I wanted to, before we go on to the world's greatest message of all time, one thing people have asked me is why are we doing live instead of recording it? Because we know that there's, with Beyonce's internet, that there's going to be some blips that probably already is skipped or is paused a couple times because it's technology. But to us, one of the values is having the production we're doing as best as we can, but our values that we're in this together, and that you know that in this same 20-second delay between us, but that we are in a shared experience. Because I think more than content, more than great songs, is that to be reminded that you really do belong, and that we are in this space and this time together, because we see you, and we see you, and you really do belong, and you are good. So today, I am talking about laughing. I love to laugh. I absolutely love to laugh. But more than that, I love getting the people I love to laugh. And during this COVID, I still have one person who's laughing at my jokes, and that's my wife. My kids are done. My kids are done with all my jokes. I think they're bangers. They just don't get high intellect, irony. You know, I speak only in puns. So, but a couple days ago, a week, I don't know. Time is a man-made construct. So my wife, because here's what I learned. I'm not 40 yet. My wife is 40. When you turn 40, you're required by law to talk about oatmeal, about tea, and about the weather, right? So Nikki, of course, was on the weather app looking, and she goes, oh, the dust and dander is really high today. And all I heard was, dust and dander is getting really high today. And I said, who's Dustin Danner? Why is he getting high? And she lost it, right? That wasn't even a joke. It was a genuine question. And she laughed so hard and so randomly since then, because I know how to ride a bit for a decade, right? I'll just randomly say, hey, where's Dustin Danner? Is Dustin Danner getting high? What's going on? And it's still funny, right? It's still funny. And there's something there's something beautiful when she laughs. There's something right when she laughs. And I hope you're sick of me saying this, but anytime that love is withdrawn from you, friends, that's heaven. And here to hear my wife laugh over the same joke I've told probably 30 times, it still just makes me feel so alive and so, of course, in love and connected to that beautiful woman. I also love to laugh myself. And a couple, again, days, weeks ago, I was watching this improv special on Netflix, and it's some of my favorite comedians. It was like 10 o'clock, 10:15, which is incredibly late for me. And I threw it on, and friends, it was like I've never heard a joke before. It's like someone just introduced me to the concept of comedy. I laughed for 25 minutes straight, as hard as I can possibly laugh. I'm screaming, I'm hitting the wall, I'm incredibly loud. My kids are coming out saying, "Dad, please stop laughing." My wife seriously came up, she's like, "Chris, the kids want to go to bed." And I couldn't, I'm sorry. I couldn't turn off. My son was playing 2K with his friends online, and they could hear me through the microphone. And it was as if something inside of me that was buried, something inside of me that was deep down needed to come out. It needed a space to exist. It needed a place to find for it to be released. And it felt so life-giving to laugh that hard. It felt so right. What is it about laughing, right? What is it about laughing that makes us feel alive? And here's what I think. You remember being a kid and you'd be in a fight with one of your best friends? And you're like, "No, Air Jordans are cooler." And they're like, "No, Reeboks are awesome." And you're like, "No, you don't know what you're talking about." And then they'd fall off the chair, or they'd say something, like maybe a booger came out of their nose while you're talking, and you're angry, but you saw something legitimate funny, and you wanted to laugh, but you know, when you are angry, especially as a kid, you feel like, "No, this is justified, I'm right, I'm gonna hold on to this because I have some sort of control." And then, but you can feel the laughter coming up. Remember that? Remember what do you do? Your lip gets tighter and your chin goes down because you're like, "I'm gonna force this laugh and suppress it," right? And then you begin to smile and your friend sees it, so they keep saying or doing it over and over and over again. Because you begin to laugh, and what happens? You're in a new space. You're in a new scene. You're in a new area, because whatever you were feeling before, laughter comes up and has a way of dissipating at times that feeling. So here's what I think. I am shocking. I am not a licensed doctor or cognitive psychologist like my friend Hannah is or will be. But I think laughter, why it feels so good, why it feels so right, is that it reminds us for a moment. I like to think of it as like a stolen time, even just like a stolen second. Laughter can connect us that there is something good inside of us. There is this joy. There is this space, even for a second, that we can feel it. And we're reminded, even though everything out here is what it is, right? It is happening, it is hard, it might be stressful. Even in the moments of that, for laughter, at least for me, and for a second, it's like, no, I'm good. This, Chris Sauter is good. Even with anxiety, even with unknown, even with still not being able to get my hair cut, right? We're doing this because we're showing love to other people. Even amidst all that, I am good. So, but it's hard, because for the class of 2020, there's like so many more reasons not to laugh. And what I'm saying, I should have started with this. What I'm not saying is like when a man tells a woman, "Hey, you should just smile more. You're so pretty when you smile," right? If you're a man, like, just don't do that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I would ask your partner, right? Or ask a friend that is female. And ask them, like, "What does that mean? What does that feel?" Just trust me. And I'm not saying that you're like stuck home in a toxic relationship and just say, "Oh, just laugh and everything will be okay." Like, "I'm in an abusive relationship." Right? I'm not saying that. No, you get to feel what you need to feel. But what I'm saying is this. You have so many reasons right now, grads, to not laugh. All these rites of passages that we have been able to experience for decades, regardless if we wanted to participate in them or not, we had the option. You didn't. Everything from prom, like even making like the little prom signs. Senior skip day. My wife is making comments. Senior skip day. Being able to hug that teacher that inspired you to be the entrepreneur, to be that teacher, to be that engineer, right? To go into advertising, to play football, that coach. That was taken from you. taking that last quarter of your senior year and totally just mailing it in because you know you're not going to get the valedictorian, right? So you're like, I'm taking art, like all classes are art. Hey,
I did that.
I did that too. I loved it. I'm not slamming. I'm saying that's my wife has got some comments for you, right?
Always.
Like there's those things that you don't get to participate in. And that's hard for like, and then, buckle up. It doesn't stop there of what will next year be. We have a friend in our church, our neighbor, who planned on this year was going to be her gap year and she was going to go to Hawaii, right? And she was going to go to Hawaii like in the middle of March. She waited her whole year, the whole plan was to go be with some friends. That was taken from her. What will your gap year look like? What will going to university look like? What will it be like to be in the dorms? What will that trade that you're going to go into? What would that enlisting into the military? Whatever you were planning on doing next year, it's not like for us, I graduated in 99. It's like I knew, oh, I'm going to go to North Central. I'm going to go to college, be a youth pastor. And I could plan on what's happening because it always happened like that to other people. This is different to the rest of us. You have no idea what going back to work will look like. You don't know if there will be work to go back. I have several friends who are in the hairstyle industry. And talking with them of like, what's it going to look like to touch someone? And like cutting hair, you have to be like very close to skin. You'd be very close to people. What's that going to look like? And with that comes fear. With that comes anxiety of not knowing what's to come. But let me tell you something, friends. You are not exempt from pain. Yeah, it's a real encouraging message for the grads. You're not exempt from pain. Here's what I mean. We look at the world in a dichotomous way, meaning there is good and there is evil, right? Nothing in between. Either it's good or it's evil. There's day and night. There is black and white. There is tall, there's short. There is a right way of doing things and there's a wrong way of doing things. And we do this because it feels good to know, oh, I'm in this box and everything in my box, funny, which is just in what I believe, and finding other people to reinforce those beliefs makes us feel like it's easier and we can navigate the world knowing we have all the right information. Anything that does not look or represent or move or flow like us, well, then it must be bad. It must be wrong. And when we operate in this way, this really what that's like is looking at God as a scoreboard, right? And the more good things you do, the good points go up. And the more bad things you do, or the word we use, like the more sinful things you do, or the evil things you do, those points go up too. And as long as you have more good points than the bad points, well, then you will get good things. Good things will happen to you. And it is, we don't always necessarily like realize that we're doing that, but it's so easy to fall into that way of viewing God. It's so easy to fall that way in reading the Bible, of there is a right way to read the Bible and there's a wrong way. And the right way is that you have to take it all 100% literal, everything. And if you don't, well, then you are bad or you are wrong or you're evil or you're less than. And when you are in that system, it creates fear. It creates something inside of you when you all of a sudden you see something different. You step outside of that normative and you're like, wait a second, do I have to hold on to that? Well, if it's dichotomous, right, wrong, black, white, and there is no gray, then it's driven by fear. And then you're going to do whatever you can to stay in the right box, to get the good points up. But here's the thing. It is way more gray in life than just black and white. There is this nuance, and it's in those nuances, at least for me, is where I get to experience this wild God. It's in the nuances of the Bible where things have been opened up to me, that the Bible, that God is inviting me to participate in, inviting me to experience. So if we can step out of night and day, that there might be dusk and there might be dawn, if we can step outside of that and see that the world and this God is so much more expansive, so much more wild than we ever thought, then we can look at that there's not pain is of the devil and non-pain is heaven, right? That's dichotomous. And I am a huge fan of the No Pain Club. I'm a card-carrying member, right? But when we view that pain or hard things or whatever it might be is always bad, then we're going to do whatever we can to avoid the pain to be in the good or the right. See what I'm saying? And you are not exempt from pain, sadly. We like to think we are. And we like, how about for me? I like to think I'm exempt from pain because I did all the right things. Nikki and I were on a walk just talking about this yesterday. If I do all the right things, remember, good points going up, well, then only good things should happen to me. And when something hard happens, when something bad happens, do you know what we say? We're like, why is this happening to me? Why did my dad get diagnosed with cancer? Why did I get this bill? Why did I get this stress? Why did I get this diagnosis? And we say it as like, no, things like this don't happen to me. And you could put whatever bucket you want to put in. I'm an American. This doesn't happen to Americans. I'm a Christian, right? Or I'm white, right? We might not always like say like and say, oh, I'm white, therefore I should have these access to these privileges. You might not even be aware of it, but we think it, right? For me, I'm a man and I have a college degree and I'm in the middle, the middle income bracket. I don't know where that is, but I like to think that I'm in there. I probably am, right? We have all these ways of thinking I'm exempt from pain because, and the truth is, Jesus says in John 16, in this world you will find trouble. Jesus says, buckle up, right? In 1 Peter, imagine that, Peter. I don't know why we call it 1 Peter, because we don't call it 1 Rambo, right? It's not 1 Rambo, it's just Rambo. So in Peter 4, Peter says, don't be surprised in this fiery ordeal that you find yourself in, right? Don't be surprised. But throughout the Bible, pain or hard things is meant to be a teacher. And if we're aware of it, instead of trying just to avoid pain, instead of just doing whatever we can to get out of it, and we can see it and recognize it and let it be the unwelcome guest that's sitting at our table, and if you're willing to step into that energy, step into the flow, and let those hard things influence you and shape you, then you can be an even stronger, more sisu, more resilient human. But you have to be able to move beyond of saying pain is always bad. And it's in these spaces then of where you might laugh. You might find yourself in this of laughing the reality of what is. And this is all throughout the Bible of God showing up and inviting people into a new way of seeing, a new way of being, right? And there's a story. We're going to read. I'm going to catch you up on it, right? It's in Abraham. It's in Genesis 17. And God shows up to Abraham. Abraham is married to Sarah. And Abraham, or God says to Abraham, Abraham, big fan of you. Through you and Sarah, you're going to have a kid. And through you and through your kid and their kids, you're going to like transform the world. Like you're going to be this tribe that goes into the world. And instead of taking or owning or operating other tribes, you're going to like bless them. And they're going to learn and see what it looks like to flourish with this good and beautiful God. And Abraham says, that's amazing. Thank you. But one little issue, I'm 100 years old and my bride is 90 years old. And 90 year old people don't have babies, right? Here's what it said. This is in Genesis 7, verse 16. So God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So a God speaks to a man, speaks to Abraham, and tells him this mind-blowing thing. And what does Abraham do? He laughs. Because that's what you do to a God, right? That's how you respond to the divine who says this crazy thing, who says, you're going to have this son, and through this son, it's going to be some amazing things. He's like, no, God, sorry, that's not how things work, right? You laugh to remind, I know what is true. You laugh to the reality of what is, right? And so he laughs. So the next chapter, God shows up again, and he shows up as three angels, right? Imagine that, right? And Abraham says, I'm going to feed you because that's what you do when God show up. And Sarah runs into the tent to hide because she's afraid and to help with the food. And this is what it says. This is chapter 18, verse 10. One of them said, I'm coming back about this time next year. And when I arrive, your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening at the tent opening just behind the man. Abraham and Sarah were old by this time, very old. I like the emphasis on that, very old. Sarah was far past the age for having babies. Sarah laughed within herself. An old woman like me get pregnant with this this old man of a husband? God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh saying, me have a baby, an old woman like me? Is anything too hard for God? I'll be back about this time next year and Sarah will have a baby. Sarah lied and said, I did not laugh because she was afraid. But God said, yes, you did. You laughed. All right, so this is like comedic gold, right? First off, Sarah is hiding because she's afraid, and she hears this God say, I'm coming back. I love how this God's just like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna be back. I got my summer home. I'll come back in. I'm gonna put the dock in. So I'll be in the area. I'm just gonna pop over. I'm gonna see this baby that she's gonna have. And Sarah, again, laughs. Why? Because 90-year-old people don't have babies. This is like science. This is how it is. And it's the absurdity of it. Again, like Abraham, she laughs. And my favorite part is that she says it to herself, but of course God hears it. And then God said to her husband, right? And says, why did Sarah laugh? And she goes, I didn't laugh, you're lying. God said, no, you didn't. Can't triple stamp a double stamp, right? I love it. It's so good. So there is this, they laugh because it can't happen, right? And they have this very complex thing going on with this imitation of being this new tribe that introduced this idea of circumcision, right? They're moving, there's chaos, there's this madness happening all around them, but they have time in the midst of it to laugh at God. And I love this, because what happens three chapters later, we have a God, even though you might mock, even though you might laugh at and say, that's not a way of being, that's not how things go, this God still shows up. And that's what happens. Chapter 21, God visited Sarah exactly as he said he would. God did to Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and gave Abraham a son in his old age at the very time God had said. Abraham named him Isaac. When his son was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him just as God had commanded. Verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, and Sarah said, God has blessed me with laughter, and all who get the news will laugh with me. God has blessed me with laughter. Isaac's name in Hebrew means laughter. And it comes from this place of, there's this invitation into this new way of being, this invitation into this wildness of being parents at 100 years old. And they say, it can't happen, because gods don't do that. Humans don't do that. And what ends up happening is she ends up holding the laughter in her arms and saying, now what I laughed at is saying it can't be. Now this laughter is this living, breathing thing. And everyone who hears the story will laugh with me. Laughter of dust and dander, right? Laughter of to some improv skit that reminds you, right? That reminds you, even for a moment, even for a minute, I'm good. This is good. And I belong. And this wild God's gonna do wild things, unexpected things. And if we're not willing to participate, if we're not willing to step into it and realize even during COVID-19, and even know what university will look like, whatever next year will look like, what jobs will look like, what connecting will look like, what summer is going to look and feel like, even in the midst of that, God is saying, I have something good and beautiful for you. So friends, where I leave you is two things, right? Two tips. The first one is this: look for the miracles. When we hear the word miracle, we like to think of it as like, oh, my hand got lopped off, right? And all of a sudden, it grows back. We're like, whoa, that's a miracle, right? Or the Vikings winning a Super Bowl. We say, that's a miracle, right? Whatever it might look at. But we have miracles that are happening every single day around us. And if we're willing to see them, if we're willing to note them, if we're willing to enter into them with them, then it can bring this place of where there is love, of where there's laughter. So miracles for me. One of my miracles is that I have an incredible partner who loves me. And how it all started, I was 13 years old and I went up to her and I said, you have big beaver teeth and you should use them to cut that tree down. And instead of throat punching me, she's right there, right? She just laughed. She laughed. And it was from that laughter that changed my life. From 13 years old, I've been with my best friend. And she's still, and I know it's hard to believe that I am not the perfect husband or father, right? And she, I've said hurtful things, I've done hurtful things, and she still calls me friend. She still calls me loved. Same thing with my kids. My kids have so much grace and love for me, and that's a miracle. I think about my friends. I think about my extended family, my siblings. I think about you, this church. This church is an absolute miracle. The things that we've been able to participate in, the things that we've been able to move through, statistically, we should not be here. We should not be here. But we did it. We were just talking, I was just talking with some of our friends of saying, I never thought I could be a part of a church where I could show up myself, where I could just be the real me. What a gift that is. And that's not something that I did. That is something we did. This is something we are able to step in and participate with this good God and do and belong and invite and connect. So this church is an absolute miracle. And we are flourishing, friends. We are flourishing, even as we can't meet, all right? We are coming with our plans of what meeting will look like in the future. People are connected. People are being helped. People are being loved. So thank you for being a part of this miracle. Thank you for being the miracle. Okay, second thing. So first one is look for the miracles. And the second one, and this is where I end. I wrote it down. The second one, is move towards joy. This is the most obvious one, right? Move towards joy. Find out what brings you love. Find out what brings you laughter and do it. So often we shame ourselves and think, no, I don't deserve laughter. I don't deserve to like find peace or rest because there's people somewhere else that have some horrible things happening to them. It's true. But by you moving towards a place of love, of something life-giving, is not taking away from someone else. So if it's you love watching Will Ferrell movies, watch Will Ferrell movies, right? If it's doing push-ups, right? If it's doing burpees, right? Then do it. Do more of it. If it's reading a book, read a book. If it's laughing with your friends, right? Like drive over to their house, roll down the window, and yell that line that you guys have been laughing at for the last 20 years, right? Carney of the fair, right? And being in that moment and laugh together. If you're willing to do the work, if you're willing to move, friends, it is so life-giving. So the graduates, I don't have my coffee from me, but I got screen cleaner. So the graduates, cheers to you. I pray that you will find laughter in the midst of hard things. I pray that you will find beauty in the midst of the unknown. And I pray that you will find a deep, deep sense of belonging. And we love you. So let me pray. So, God, we welcome you. And I thank you for the graduates. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this church. And that we can, even in the unknown, even in the hard stuff, we can be reminded that this, us, is good. And we might not know what's to come. And we might be like Abraham and Sarah and laugh at the idea that something beautiful could be right around the corner. And I pray, God, that when we come on the other end of not just of this pandemic, but just on the other end of this opportunity in front of us, that we'll be able to look back and we too, like Sarah say, and God has given me laughter. And all who see me, all who hear this story will laugh with me. This gift of we are incredibly and deeply loved. So we welcome you and we love you. Amen. Amen, friends. So thank you for coming. We will see you again next Sunday.